Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And now Sam Schwartz is back for one last conversation in our April series to talk about his unified theory of New York transportation. He's known as Gridlock Sam in the Daily News. He's a former New York City traffic commissioner, and he now runs the traffic planning firm Sam Schwartz Engineering. He's got a plan that we won't call congestion pricing, that attempts to balance the competing demands of transit riders, commercial carriers, cars, pedestrians, and bikes, and get everyone moving in ways that he hopes maximizes the benefits and rationalizes the costs for one and all. You can check out his ideas in a PowerPoint presentation we've linked to on our show page at WNYC.org. And thanks for coming on one last time, Sam Schwartz. Hi.
Hi, Brian. It's great to be back.
And listeners, if you've been listening all month to his equitable transportation formula or an attempt at one, you can call and ask Sam Schwartz anything you want about transportation in New York. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And while your calls are coming in, Sam, the last piece of your puzzle that we'll put together after we've talked about pedestrians and bikes and passenger cars and trucks and other commercial vehicles, let's hone in a bit on your mass transit proposals. And you focus heavily on carrots for those underserved by the bus and subway system. You would lower bus fares by a dollar in some parts of the city. Tell us about it.
Many areas of the city just don't have subways, and people are relying on buses. And often those people on the buses are lower-income people, elderly, and children. And it seems to make no sense to charge the same exact amount to go from Coney Island to Yankee Stadium on a subway as to go 10 or 15 blocks in Little Neck, Queens.
How would you subsidize? The MTA is in trouble enough financially all the time. How would you subsidize cutting the bus fares?
When you take a look at rearranging the tolls, putting the tolls where they belong, lowering the tolls where they don't belong, we end up with a surplus of about $2 billion. So I propose that some of that should go towards lowering the bus fares, some of it will go to transit improvements, and some will go to highway improvements.
The you also propose adding a bus rapid transit system. And I think that's for reverse commuters, that is, people in Brooklyn and Queens who go to Long Island to work in the morning?
Well, it's actually a bus rapid transit in a few different locations. But it would be a commuter service, and it would go right down the center of the Long Island Expressway. Imagine what the Van Wyck looks like right now with AirTrain going down the center. We would have an elevated busway that would take people from Nassau County and from the outskirts of Queens all the way into Manhattan. Uh-huh. By the same token, we could do it at the Bell Parkway and the Bruckner Expressway, take people from Westchester, from Northern Bronx, and take them, even stretch it out to I-95 in Connecticut.
Oh, that's a bigger proposal than I realized you were making. Elevated busways along the median strips that exist now, that would be a huge construction project, wouldn't it?
That's right, and we just completed doing that in a much tougher area, the Van Wyck Expressway. Again, if you look at the plan that I'm putting forward, we're raising some $50 billion over 40 years. And it's reasonable when you're doing transportation planning to think in a horizon of 30 or 40 years. So there's enough money there, along with existing capital funds, along with federal funds, to think big. And it's time that New York says we can do major projects. We can improve our transportation system.
Adam in Weehawken, you're on WNYC with Gridlock Sam Schwartz. Hello.
Hi. First time, long time, Brian.
I'm glad.
I was really inspired hearing Gridlock Sam a couple of weeks ago. I live in Weehawken and take the buses into the city almost every day. And I'm wondering if Gridlock Sam is considered doing a Kickstarter campaign for those bridges that he was proposing. I think a Kickstarter campaign where people could pay $200 and get a lifetime pass on the bridge from Hoboken to New York would be a great idea, and I would certainly put in my $200 right away.
All right. Thank you very much. So Kickstarter, you could raise a few $1,000s toward your $50 billion goal. But actually, some people do very well on Kickstarter and raise hundreds of thousands of dollars. But what about extending the subways to Weehawken? And I heard that the plan to extend the number 7 train across the Hudson is dead.
Yeah, I think that's unlikely that we're going to see that, but I do think that we're going to see another tunnel. Amtrak is considering another tunnel. We need more capacity coming in from New Jersey. Adam mentioned the bike-pedestrian bridge that I proposed, and I think it's a great idea, Adam, and maybe I'll try to do something. I'm meeting with an institute to talk about a global competition to design the 3 bridges that I'm proposing to Manhattan. So maybe we can jumpstart this.
Alan in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alan.
Good morning. Thanks, Brian. One topic that I raised at the RPA conference last year and at previous conferences is the idea of transit benefit zone assessments. Too much of the burden of the transit subsidy is placed on strap hangers. And if we're serious about trying to develop the whole region toward transit and combat climate change, what we really need to do is distribute the burden of transit subsidies more fairly to reflect the benefit. And the benefit is substantially on the owners of central business district land that would not be usable as high-rise development land without the subways. They are as essential to those buildings as elevators and HVAC. And yet, there are business improvement districts for improving trash cans and sidewalk benches in some neighborhoods, but no special benefit assessment put on for the benefit of having a transit stop thereby.
Interesting, Alan. So, Sam Schwartz, if you have big plans for transit, do you have anything like Alan is proposing for getting more money into it?
Well, we're getting more money into it through collecting the tolls, through the increased fees on the taxis, through increased fees on the black cars and even the bicycles. I think there are already some taxes in place, and there's also talk of resuscitating the commuter tax. There is a real estate transportation tax that is paid currently that goes to the MTA. I'm all for increasing support for the MTA any which way. My plan deals with it by redistributing how people are charged as they travel around New York City.
John in Glen Rock, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hi, Brian. I just want to thank your guests for a great month of information, and I really hope some of these proposals come to fruition. The question I have is why are buses, have to pay tolls? It's sort of counterproductive because if you give up your car and get on a bus, you're reducing carbon emissions, et cetera. But I understand that with the Port Authority, they just raised all the tolls for the commuter vans, what we call the dollar buses here in Jersey, and as well as the New Jersey Transit buses. I just wondered what's the thought process behind having tolls? Why not have buses travel free?
Great question. Sam?
Yeah, I think the MTA, the money that comes across the East River toll crossings all goes back into the MTA pot. I think that's a really good question. I don't know about the dollar vans, but those that are registered as for transporting people legitimately. I know there are some that are not legitimate. I think it makes good sense to encourage them and perhaps not charge a toll for those vehicles.
They are private businesses in many of those cases. It's different with an actual MTA bus, right?
Correct. But they're still, if they are forming a public transportation service, I think we ought to think about encouraging that.
Helen on Staten Island. You're on WNYC. Hi, Helen.
Hi. Thank you. What I want to know is what is being done to improve commutation for people on Staten Island? The mayor, who loves to have to encourage people to be tourists in New York City, these boats now are so overcrowded with people, and they run on Saturday night only once an hour at 7:30 on. It's a dreadful scenario. Too many people, a lot of noise, and commuters from Staten Island don't have a place to sit down because there are so many tourists. What kind of service improvements can we expect from this program?
Yeah, do you have Staten Island in your – poor Staten Island. You know, they have the highest tolls with the Verrazano Bridge and no subway that connects to Brooklyn or to Manhattan, and, you know, and the ferry problems that Helen just articulated.
Yeah, Brian, what's going on with Staten Island is absolutely crazy. Everybody going into Staten Island by motor vehicle is tolled. You would think that Staten Island was the central business district of New York City. Huh. So when I refer to a cockamamie pricing scheme, that's part of what I'm talking about, how we treat the people of Staten Island. The ferry service was made free. I think that that was a mistake, and that's part of the reason you're getting cutbacks. It's the Office of Management and Budget. When they take a look at the ferry service, they see it as a total loser. I think a nominal charge, 25 cents, 50 cents more for tourists, would go a long way towards improving service. In my plan, I recognize that we're not going to have a subway on Staten Island for a very long time, and I propose widening the Staten Island Expressway to get some of the traffic through the island a little quicker.
Dean in Mount Kisco, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dean.
Hey, Brian, how are you? Great show. Sam, thanks for the work. Hey, my question is this. You know, we talk a lot about what works in other cities as a way of informing what we might be doing in New York. And it strikes me that there aren't that many cities that are really truly good analogs for New York, especially for Manhattan, given just the sheer density of humanity that we have with the concentration of high-rises. And I'm wondering what cities are and are not good analogs. Strikes me Paris is not a great analog, or Seattle or other cities of that type. Sam, what are your thoughts on that?
London in 2003 dealt with their traffic problem by introducing congestion pricing, and it's been successful. They were able to purchase hundreds more buses and improve transit service. They were able to do much-needed construction in their central business district and maintain the same exact speeds. Probably the most advanced example of pricing is Singapore, which adopts a market-based driven pricing, which is what I proposed for New York, so that if coming into Manhattan the economy was lousy and fewer people were driving in, we'd actually lower the tolls coming into Manhattan. And as the economy gets better, you charge more for getting into Manhattan. So I think Singapore is a terrific example. London's a great example. I was very jealous when London beat New York to it, because it was invented here by William Vickery, a Columbia University professor,
congestion
who later
pricing.
Went on to win the Nobel Prize.
You mean congestion pricing?
Congestion pricing, yes.
Dean, thank you for a really good question. We're entering our last couple of minutes of this April weekly series with Gridlock Sam Schwartz. We call him that because he's known as Gridlock Sam in his daily news column, on the various elements of his unified theory for reforming transportation in New York City. We've had a great caller response all month, and Sam, you've gotten good press from media outlets ranging from the New York Times to National Review Online. But in the real world, you would need Albany support. And I'm sure you're aware that Governor Cuomo was asked about your plan in a press conference just Tuesday of this week. He was asked if he had seen, quote, Sam Schwartz's revised congestion pricing plan, and he said this.
I have not seen it. We've talked about congestion pricing for many years. We've tried to pass it in the past. It hasn't passed. I don't know that anything has happened to change that dynamic. I just don't know that you have the political support to pass it.
Were you disappointed to hear that, Sam, that he hadn't even heard about it?
The governor, I'm sure, has read about it. It certainly got a lot of coverage. But when you frame it as congestion pricing alone and not as correcting the pricing scheme that we have in New York.
That was the problem. You know, I was annoyed. I don't know who the reporter was who asked that question, but because it was framed as, have you seen Sam Schwartz's congestion pricing plan, rather than Sam Schwartz's innovative overhaul, the imaginative plan for the next 50 years of New York City and vicinity, maybe he would have responded a little differently if it wasn't just asked as a congestion pricing plan.
Exactly, Brian, and that's how I felt when it was asked that way, and that's why you'll find me rarely using the word congestion pricing. And I may adopt your term, the unified theory of transportation.
Well, that would be great, and I credit our producer, Lisa Allison, with that phrase. But we thank Sam Schwartz, and listeners, you can see the PowerPoint presentation of his ideas about this unified theory of transportation in New York. We've got it on our show page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. And Sam, this is the end of the series, but obviously not the end of our conversation, so we'll talk soon.
Great to talk to you. Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehr on WNYC.